Hello, everyone. We are going to get started. We're going to move a little fast. Sorry I'm a minute late, but we have somebody here who is working on a piece of furniture that came in just a little damaged, but he's actually super attentive, which is nice because I really love my new furniture. I want it to be where it's super attentive. Okay, we have Jennifer and Chris getting coached today. We only have two. I guess nobody gives a shit today. All right, so I have those two. If you will raise your hand, and then we will get you started, everyone. So Jennifer. Everybody's just like, I'm perfect today. I don't need no coaching. Queenie? All right, bottom left is join audio. Do you see it? Somewhere down at the bottom is, it'll say like, wait a minute, let me make sure I've got my sound on. All right, say it again. Say words again. Yes. All right. Yeah. So what are we coaching on?
Well, I just thought I would, I hadn't really planned on doing coaching and there was open spots. So I thought I would jump in.
I know. Well, it's so weird. There's rare, I never have open spots.
And there's two,
and if you just got on, that means everybody was just like, womp, womp, I'm not getting coached today.
Well, I'm getting coached on something you've coached on 100 times. So welcome to the replay.
Hey, at least it'll be an easy one for me.
it's been done many times. So and I actually know all the answers, but I thought, well, maybe I would ask for it and maybe it would go different. I don't know.
Okay.
I've been a member since January of 2018, and I've lost 20 pounds.
Okay.
And I essentially haven't lost a pound since like November. And so I do my 24-hour plans, but I only stick to them 85% of the time, probably.
Okay, so there's problem one, inconsistency.
But then I deal with a ton of justification because I feel like I'm doing so much because I have quit,
right.
You know.
But right now, like, here's what I would say to myself. Like, I wouldn't even tell myself I deal with justification. You're not dealing with justification at all. What does dealing with justification mean?
I mean, I guess what I'm saying in my head, I think, well, I haven't eaten at night. I am only eating when I'm truly, you know, I'm hungry. I think I'm hungry. So many times, you know, at the restaurant, I walk away with food on the plate or I only eat.
But what about the 15% of the time?
I would say that it's really, I mean, I don't feel like it's overeating and I don't feel like even the sticking to not my plan. I mean, I'm not going to McDonald's doing the drive through and I'm not.
Right. Quit telling me like how to gain weight. All you've told me so far is this is exactly what normal people who maintain their weight eat like. Yeah, they leave bites behind. They don't go to McDonald's when they're stressed. That's what people who don't gain weight do. But what do people who lose weight do? That's what I want you to think about.
Well, that's what I guess I'm struggling with because I don't – like I feel like I would go into this restrictive diet mentality, which I can't.
No, restriction is an action. You're going to have to restrict somewhere. It's not a feeling. It's an action. Yeah. What is the 15% when you said I make 24-hour plans? You've already told on yourself. You said two things. I justify, and you have to quit. Like whatever you're justifying is the problem. And I'm guaranteeing you're justifying 15%. That's taking away 100% of your results. But instead of focusing and being honest and raw about 15%. You're staying wubby, comfy land of like, I'm so good. I'm not eating like somebody who's trying to like, you know, stow it away for the winter now. that part has to stop.
In my head, it feels like I am just killing it.
Right, but you're not. That's not helping you. Like sitting around and being frustrated that you're killing it. Like this is the problem. If you were saying, I'm killing it, and now I'm just ready to level up and go for it, that's one thing. But you're saying, I'm killing it, and this is crap, and I feel terrible about it. And yeah. rather, and like that is a smoke signal that says something's not adding up. What am I not telling myself? Yes. So when I say, what is the 15%? Quit arguing with me for why it should be working. Mm-hmm. Start telling me why it's not working. Be honest. When you said 15% of the time, I am not following the plan. What food is there?
I guess I would. It's actually probably just overeating more than eating food. You know, like I put chips on my plan, like tortilla chips.
Yeah.
And I grab, you know, two handfuls of tortilla chips. It's technically chips on my plan, but I'm probably eating too many tortilla chips.
Yeah. Overeating won't get you weight loss. Yeah. I know that's weird news, and I'm probably the first person to ever say this, but when you overeat tortilla chips, like what is the difference between you overeating them at home on your plan and going to the Mexican restaurant and just eating them out of the basket? Would you be like, no, that's okay, Corinne. Tortilla chips are on the plan.
Yes.
There's probably about two handfuls in a basket on the table at a Mexican restaurant, and that's what you're having.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't know why I'm not losing weight.
I know, but I feel like if I eat just that and then I just eat, you know, a salad with it, then that should be enough less for my body to lose weight.
So a basket of chips, which is what two handfuls are, and a salad.
Uh-huh. And that if I, all I eat for lunch, I mean, I used to eat way more than that.
Right. You used to get fat.
I know.
Look, I want you to hear this, Jennifer. You used to eat in a way that made you gain weight. Yeah. And you're saying, but it's different than that. And I'm like, well, fuck yeah, it is different. And it's made, yeah. Now you're eating at maintenance. Someone who loses weight, do they eat a basket of chips with a salad?
No, they just eat the salad.
They also have chips, but you know what they do? They count out 10 and they're done. They're not just grabbing a few handfuls, a couple handfuls. I don't know how big your hand is, but it might be a little larger than it needs to be.
Yeah.
I mean, this is such an easy fix. It's like, you think, now I got to cut out the chips. I'm like, no. Quit grabbing chips and being like, okay, here's one level up. Mm-hmm. I can start evaluating. Tortilla chips are going to be fine, but now we're going to have 10.
Yeah. But then I guess in my head, I'm like, but then I'm going back to like, you know, Weight Watchers and trying to measure my points. And I want to.
No, you're counting out 10 chips so you can lose weight. Let me ask you this. So all of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Let me just ask you this. How much weight do you want to lose?
I have another 60 pounds left to lose.
Okay. And you would weigh what?
About 165, 170.
Okay. Let's say is 100. If I had you every single day, you were going to have to eat 10 tortilla chips. Uh-huh. Would you do that to weigh 160 pounds?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Have a conversation with yourself every day. Is counting out 10 chips worth weighing 160 pounds?
And see, I don't know if I think that. I guess that's what I feel like. I'm like, bottom line, do I not really want it? And I know I've heard this coach. I've heard every coaching call. I know I've heard the coaching call about, well, do you really want it? Do you not really want it? Are you just playing around? Or is it a, you know, I'm like.
No, you really want it. You just want to be able to eat two handfuls of chips every day and get it.
Yes.
That's the difference. Right. It has nothing to do with whether or not you want to. I can guarantee you if I said, I've got the genie lamp. You're going to weigh 160 pounds tomorrow. You would
I would love
it. And if I said, and here's the price, you'd go take out a loan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. So you obviously want it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's just in the moment, it seems like it's going to be so much harder because it's like, oh, well, now I'm like diet mentality. Corinne wants me to count out 10 chips. I don't know if I'm willing to pay that expensive currency of weight loss of counting out 10 chips to weigh what I've always dreamed.
Uh-huh. Well, and I know that. I mean, I've lost this weight before. This is my third time to go back down. And the other two times, the way I've done it, I mean, probably a food restriction. I mean, and then I did, you know, like a weight loss drink thing, you know, and I lost it that way. But I guess you're right. I mean, the reality is I'm just putting too many calories in my body because I'm not losing any weight.
Right. Your body is saying the amount you're putting in needs to be lessened in order to trigger weight loss. Now, your brain, because you've done extreme diets, wants to go to, then I must need to go to an extreme in order to get the weight loss. It's like, no, you need to count out 10 chips instead of doing two handfuls.
Yeah.
Like you need to be thinking, what is going to be the easiest way for me to change what I'm already doing to kickstart the weight loss? Which means, like, for a few days, make small changes. What's on the salad?
Well, I normally do like a meat and then like a protein, like a grilled chicken or just ground beef. And then I do salad dressing. I started using all the things I never allowed myself to use before.
Right. Just tell me in plain words, what you're doing is you're reinforcing that somehow you've switched and that's bad. Uh-huh. See, now I'm using like salad dressing.
I know. I will use salad dressing.
Right. And you weren't losing weight then either.
No.
So let's not conflate the idea that those other diets worked or we wouldn't be sitting here talking about chips and salad dressing now.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, I put it all back on, so it didn't work.
No. So salad dressing, you've got some salad dressing, you've got some protein, obviously cheese, some lettuce.
Lettuce, tomatoes, normally zucchini. I mean, mushrooms sometimes.
Okay. So lots of good vegetables. That's what I'm trying to get. I'm really looking for making sure your salad has plenty of vegetables in it.
Yeah, it has vegetables and stuff in it, but that's really mainly it. Just that, and then I do crouton and cheese and dressing.
Okay, here's what I would do. I would have chips or croutons. Okay. This is easy. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where we're just like, okay, I'm going to have 10 chips, but when I have chips, I don't have croutons. If I'd rather have croutons on my salad, then I won't have the chips. I don't need both. Okay. Croutons and chips, this is what we call, like, these things can totally be within our protocol. But these are also the things that we are adding to flavor our food. This is not because our body is going to require it for energy, poop, hydration, vitamins. Chips and croutons do not do that for us.
No, they
those
do
are
not.
The places where I always start with people when you're like needing to make a few level ups. Uh-huh. Start with some of that. It's like, I just always ask myself when I was losing weight, do I like need chips and croutons or am I willing to get rid of one? Like when I used to go out to eat, I would say like, all right, do I want to have a burger with fries? Like, do I want the bread and a salad or do I want the fries and the patty?
Yeah.
Like I was always like looking for things like that where I can make like small trades that add up to huge results. And honestly, I promise you, if you will just not make it dramatic, like restriction, you know what you're doing right now? You're already practicing restriction and giving yourself no credit. You're restricting yourself from the 60 pounds.
Yeah.
I want you to restrict yourself from some croutons when you have chips and not make it a big fucking deal like you're deprived.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's not working. Obviously, what I'm doing is not working. So it's...
Well, this is what I would caution you on. I wouldn't say it's not working. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not working it to its fullest. It is working. You're changing a lot of things. This is the nice thing. When you're like at this point where you're doing your 24-hour plan, you're dialed in, you know what your foods are and stuff, you're not having to start from ground zero of like getting in the habit of the 24-hour plan.
Yeah,
you actually have all your data, you have all of that stuff, and you have solid foundational habits built. It's working. Now it's just time to make it work a little faster. And that's not going to take a lot of heroic efforts. It's going to be you just kind of like going through, like just look at your last 7 days of plans and take a highlighter and highlight everything that you're just like, okay, this is all the, what I would call makes my food fun stuff that I enjoy, but I could probably space it out a little bit. Like, would I miss this? Would I miss that? And play around with it. You might find they're like, oh my God, my salad is like bullshit without the croutons. Then play around with like cheese. Because if you have dressing and you have meat and you have cheese, you know you've got your fats covered and your protein covered. So you might not need all of them. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of just playing with things and seeing what works. Not only what works to get the scale to move, but also what works to get you like, all right, I really am still enjoying this. The level ups were always there for me. I just was fighting that part. Like there was something wrong with having to do that. You just need to level up a little.
Level up a lot, I guess.
Why is level up a lot?
Well, because I mean, 20 pounds is nothing. I mean, I know it's better than none, but it's like, I just, like I said, I just, every week I get on and I'm like, oh, and then I'll be like, oh, well, it's going to go up because I'm going to start my period. Oh, now I'm back to what I was. Oh, wait, I haven't lost anything. Oh, wait, here we go again.
But why is level up a lot? That's a loaded statement.
Yeah. I guess what I mean, yeah, I mean, you're right. It is a loaded statement, but I guess I need to get my brain moving in the direction to remember that I am still trying to lose weight and try to eat like that, I guess. Eat. Like you said, just start thinking things through. Because it's mentally very hard for me whenever you have, you know, like to even get past, I got to formulate what I'm going to say. The realization of how little food that we really need for our bodies is really hard. And so because of my head, I'm like, good Lord, how can I eat less than this? But obviously my body is not losing the weight. I am not starving. Like I am not like, you know, anorexic looking, you know, can barely have function to get out of bed. It's just so mentally different in my head. You know, you eat breakfast, you eat lunch, and then you need to eat this, and then you need to eat that. It's a lot of stuff, you know, in my head. So I just need to work on that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you do, because it doesn't, like, it's amazing how little the body really needs to just, we're not the most active people.
No.
This is the problem. Like, I work out most days with an hour of intensity. Plus, I do very intensive brain work all day. Some, like tonight, I won't even stop till 9 o'clock and I won't hardly eat because I won't be hungry. Like my, like we think we're doing so much and we need so much. And it's like, we don't. What we emotionally need is very different. Like, but if I'm not eating that, what am I going to be doing?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what I want to tell. Do what?
What am I going to do from 12 to 1?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I have identified a lot of my eating as entertainment eating. And yes. So
no more entertainment eating. None. Mm-hmm. If you're finding but that's
I know what being whiny.
You've got to like find joy in your life. This is the problem. You're staying frustrated with yourself so that you cannot be bored between 12 and 1. Mm-hmm. You're trading that for every week wondering why you're not losing weight. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm going to tell you, you just literally ratted yourself out. When I was like trying to hammer you on, you know, what is this 15%? And you just couldn't come up with it. It's like, no, you don't know. It's so much better. Blah, blah. And then when you start talking about how hard it is to eat so little, next thing you know, you blurt out, I do so much entertainment eating. You don't need to be restricted. You need to quit eating for fun.
I know.
What if you just start figuring out how to live your life for fun? Mm-hmm. Put all that in.
Yeah. I know that's not an answer. I can't say that. Never mind.
Here's the thing. You're never going to figure out what's fun in life if you don't get chips out of your mouth.
Yes.
I'm not joking. I know it sounds funny. I know you guys are always entertained by my dramatic stuff, but seriously, you guys like sit there and argue with me about how boring your life is or how you don't have anything or I don't know what to do. I don't have hobbies. I don't have all this stuff. Well, you're not going to find it sitting around with your hand in the chip bowl. I guarantee you the fun train and the world and its life, whatever it is that you want out there, you won't even know how to find what you want while you're eating because you're focused on the eating. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you in confusion about why you don't have the things you really want in life. You have to stop eating to force yourself to work on your life.
That's no fun.
This isn't either.
I guarantee you.
Like, this is the thing, though. It's like, you know, and you need to, like, tell yourself what bullshit story you have around restriction. There is nothing restrictive about what you're doing. And, I mean, when it flies into your head, you need to be like, no, ma'am. I'm done restricting my future. I'm done restricting myself from weighing 160 pounds. Like, here's the non-negotiable things that I am no longer restricting myself on. And me having 10 chips versus 2 handfuls, that's not Weight Watchers counting points. Mm-hmm. That's being realistic. Mm-hmm. 10 chips is fine. not having croutons, that's not restriction.
Yeah.
People starving in this world, they could give a damn about some croutons.
I know. We are so blessed.
That is the conversation. Like when you're in your shitty diaper about restriction, this is all of you, because they all are over here like, oh man, thank you for saying it. All of us that have been like on these diets, and then this is the thing. We have all these diet industry people who have taught us bull fucking shit about ways to lose weight. And then we have all these books that tell us we're broken flowers and we've been restricted and somehow wounded internally as children over these diets and stuff. And I'm like, all of that, throw it all away. Mm-hmm. None of that thinking helps you take control over your life right now, empowering yourself and understanding reality. The reality is that if you don't get chips and you don't get croutons, the world won't end. You may not like it. And you may need to work on your thoughts, but croutons and chips are what are standing in the way of you figuring out how to love your life. Mm-hmm. Not just your weight, but literally like your life. Because if you tell me that from 12 to 1, you don't know what life's going to be like without the food because you're not hungry, mm-hmm. then we know exactly where to work. That's what you need to work on. It is not on fine couve-toming your 24-hour plan. Mm-hmm. It's being willing to sit there, let it feel like ass enough to where you have motivation to fix it versus sitting there and going back to the food to cover it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I do desire it. I do want to lose the weight. So. I feel like, but yeah, I definitely, and then I like to sit in my poopy diaper. I've heard you say before about the, it's easier to get angry because then angry, frustrated are essentially the same. Because then, how do you say it? You know, that's an easier emotion than doing something about it. I always hate it because when I want to get in my poopy diaper, I hear all these things like, well, Jennifer, da, da, da. And I'm like, no, I want to be all justified. I want to be a
All I want you to do is I want you to spend some time on figuring out the easiest thing to solve first, which is where can I level up?
Yeah.
For all the places I can level up, that's not going to take a lot of emotional bandwidth. That's the first thing to do. That's always the easiest way to get a few wins underneath your belt. Start practicing that. Because you're going to have enough poopy diaper syndrome over that anyway, but they're like little nuggets. It's not like a blowout. When you stop eating from 12 to 1 because you're actually not hungry, you're going to blow the diaper out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That, you want to save up for that. So get you some momentum with the little things first. Okay. Then we can move on to bigger things. And then before you do that part, I want you to think about, so between 12 and 1, what is that going to look and feel like when I'm literally not going to eat because I'm just not hungry today? Mm-hmm. You need, and I don't want you to go and just find something to do. Like, I want you to think about, yeah, like, I'm going to probably be bored. So I need to figure out if I'm going to be doing something, do something that will feel good. Like, I always love it when people want to, like, give up their food between either 12 and 1 or 4 and 5 or 8 and 10. And it always involves a toilet cleaning or doing laundry. Or I probably should call my mother. That never goes well, but I haven't called her in a while. I'm like, yeah, no wonder you keep turning to food. Let's not take away our food and then plan for misery. Like, you need to have something there that is going to be to invite you in, that makes you see like, oh, there is a better life waiting for me. And that's what I would do.
Okay.
All right, Missy. I'm proud of you. This is not an easy call. I know it's not easy to come on here and be like, all right, I know for like 1,000 times you talked about the 24-hour plan and stuff. Let's do it one more time. But every time something new comes out of it. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So thank you. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. All right. Bye, sweetheart. Okay. Chris, are you here? Yep. Y'all, I feel like I'm getting high. That guy has got some solvent that he's using on this thing, and I'm like, as a kite. I even have my window open. Bottom left is where the join audio is.
Hi.
Hello. I swear to God, like I'm high as a kite. Like even my lungs are burning. I'm like, how do people work around this stuff? Oh my gosh. I have to open the windows before I get Logan home or he'll never settle down tonight. All right. What are we coaching on?
Well, first of all, I am new in January.
Awesome.
And I have learned so much stuff already from just listening to everyone else being coached and going on the website and, you know, listening to all the podcasts. So I'm probably on overload with podcasts. But so I have I'm super nervous. So I'm really sorry.
No, you're fine. Everybody's nervous. All right. You have an amazing liquor collection, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I keep looking at it. I'm like, is that Malibu?
That's some of it. Right? We got another cabinet, but
I know who I need to come visit.
Well, I have I wrote down some notes, and so I have oodles of things I could ask you, but I have two top things.
Okay.
So my first thing is that I work night shift. And I work usually 3 days a week, three 12-hour shifts, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Are you a nurse?
I'm a respiratory therapist.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I guess more or less I want to see if I'm doing things right and what I worry about. So for instance, as an example, today I go to work tonight at 7 p.m., and because I've been off work the past 3 days, this day, usually I don't really sleep during the day. I don't know if I'm, on those days, I'm literally up for 24 hours. So I got up this morning at 9, I do my breakfast, lunch, and then go to work. And then I usually eat somewhere, a snack or something around maybe 9, and then 2 a.m. have dinner. And then since I've been on this plan, I've been trying to eat a small packet of oatmeal or something small before I leave work at 7 in the morning so that I prevent myself from going through drive-thru on the way home.
Yeah, that's smart.
Because usually I'm starving by then and I'm like, let me just go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
So, and then I go home and then I usually go to sleep pretty quickly. Sometimes, just depends on the day. I can't get to sleep before 10. I'm back up 3 hours later, redo the whole day again. So I guess in the days that I'm up for 24 hours or more, I feel like in my head, and of course back in the calorie counting days, that in those 24 hours you're only supposed to eat so much, but yet most people are sleeping during, 7 to 9 of those hours and I'm awake. So I guess my question is, am I eating too much on those days where I'm having
No.
I don't know, breakfast in the 24-hour period and then lunch and...
No, I don't think so. I mean, do you not nap?
So I normally do. I try to, let's say. But like I said, when I'm working, when you work 3 days in a row, so I've been off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then I work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. When you switch back over to a normal daytime schedule with the rest of the world, on that next day that you have to go to work that night, it's hard to make yourself sleep because you slept.
Yeah. My mom was she did 12s. In fact, both my parents worked graveyard most of their lives.
Right. Yeah. I've been doing it for 13 years and I do love it. But there's definitely some things to.
Let me just say this. The way you're eating through that is not a problem.
Okay.
If the worst thing that's happening is 3 times a week, you're eating an extra packet of oatmeal for breakfast or whatever it is, that's not a weight problem.
Okay.
So where is the weight problem? Is that what you're here for? Or are you losing weight?
So I have started losing weight.
Okay, good. All right.
Working the plan, as you said, the first month and a half, I kind of didn't do the 24-hour plan so well. And so I lost 7, gained 7. So I'm back down 17 pounds. So I'm in the right
group. Oh, good. So you're doing awesome. Okay.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that part. Okay. It's just, I guess, some little things that are...
I think, the way you're doing all of this, though, is just fine. The only thing I suggest is on that, the only thing that and this is not really a problem, but I'm just a big believer in naps, especially like 25-minute naps. So on the days when you are, like when you said, I get up and I've only really slept 3 hours, like even on that day, if you can get like a 25-minute nap in, like those short power naps can almost compensate for like 2 to 3 hours of missed sleep. Okay. They show them to be so powerful that way. So just for your mental alertness and your overall weight loss, like trying to get in on the days you can a 25-minute power nap, like I'd set a timer, would be incredible. I took one before this call.
Right.
I mean, it was like I knew I had already done a live today. I'd been up since 4:30 and I had this call and I have to get Logan and I wanted to be sharp. And I was like, all right, 25 minutes. And I set a timer and went down.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely, I do those when I can on certain days. And then there'll be weeks where I sleep beautifully during the week and I'm awake and alert all night long and it's no issues. I don't hit no wall at 3 a.m. You know, I feel good. But then like there's the downtime where literally I can lay there and count, you know, sheep and nothing happens.
Like, and I would just, on those times, you can never do this ever.
Right.
You know, you have to literally, like when I was moving last week, every night I would wake up and would lay there for like 2 hours just thinking of schedules and things that had to get done and whatnot. And I literally would just lay there through the whole thing. So like, there's no way I'm going to reward this brain for being awake. I just kept thinking about, this is what we used to do when we would let Logan cry it out. It was painful, but we let him cry it out. And I was like, I'm letting my brain just cry it out.
Right. You're right. I'll definitely work on that.
Yeah, it's literally like that. I mean, it really is. It takes a few days. And it's not fun to be bored for 2 hours. But here's what the benefit of it is when you do that, not only are you training your brain that it doesn't get a dopamine hit through any way, whether it's the phone, it's the TV, it's getting up, finding something to do, whatever it may be, your brain is going to get zero reward for its activity when it's supposed to be sleeping. It also trains you on how to deny a food urge, because we're going to want to grab this. You're going to want to turn the TV on. Like there's all these desires, urges, and wants going on. I love all of you who don't sleep well. I'm like, God, if you ever want to teach yourself how to control yourself around food, then teach yourself not to be rewarded in the middle of the night, because it strengthens the exact same mental wiring as junk food. Same one. The brain sends the same signal, uses the same ass path, all the things. Like your McDonald's route, it is the same thing. It's looking for that same hit. So if at night, if you're not rewarding, you're doing double time work on being able to like negotiate and say like, no, we're not going to have this. We didn't plan for it. And that's the way it's going to be, because you've exercised that muscle already.
Okay.
What was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
Another thing is so, and I don't know if this is a problem or not, but so I'm back on, and I've lost weight before, gained it back, and then added some several times through my years. And so now I feel like I'm in a good place with paying attention to my eating habits and really, really paying attention to the hunger scale, which I'm still, you know, really trying to learn, because some days I'm like, okay, am I hungry? Am I really hungry or am I not? And sometimes, you know, I don't know, but I just kind of wing those days. And so anyways, I have a big test that I have to take, and it's holding back any type of career path that I want to further on for myself. If I'm okay with where I'm at, then I don't really need to take it. So I've been basically screwing around with doing it. But my problem is, I have a lot of anxiety, you know, I take medicine when I need to, the whole nine. But my problem is that I'm doing so well on PMP that I'm afraid to take my focus off it for even a second.
Do you need to take your focus off?
Like, I do. I feel like if I take away for just a minute to work on something else that's important, I don't even know why I'm getting upset. that I'll like go backwards.
Okay. Let's just agree that if you start studying for this test, that does not mean you go backward in your food.
Okay.
All right. If we get your mind right around studying for this test, you won't need the food to compensate for your fear around the test or whatever's going on. What's going on with you in this test that's making you cry?
I think it's more of the taking focus off of my weight loss that's upsetting, more upsetting to me than.
But here's what I'm going to challenge you on. Before. If you're studying for this test, that does not have to mean that you take focus off your weight loss. Can your weight loss not be your number one priority while you're studying for this test? What has to change? Like, I want you to just tell me in your mind, what has to change? Like, if you start studying for this test, what's not going to happen in PMP land?
I think that once I start really putting my focus on studying, because I have to like listen to videos and, you know, it's going to be like at least I would say my goal is to take this test the end of May.
Okay.
Literally I should be studying as much as possible until then. So I feel like because literally like I'm constantly just like making notes throughout the day, I'm listening to videos, I am, you know, just trying to learn so much about myself and the health wise. And I've always been that type of person that like, I'm an all or nothing person. Like I'm losing weight, so I need to focus on that. But, oh, you should now go to school and study. So now I'm putting all my focus into that. I think I'm just afraid that, that once I put all my focus into studying to get this test over with, I just want to get it out of the way.
Are you going to be driving any?
Oh, yes. I live in West Virginia and I work in Maryland, so I drive for an hour and 25 minutes to work.
Okay, so are you going to listen to your test stuff when you drive or your PMP stuff?
I normally listen to my PMP stuff.
Right, but I'm asking you, like, we're going to create your plan.
I should listen to my study stuff. And I have a lot of downtime at night that, you know, because being a respiratory therapist, we're a little different than nursing. We don't have to be bedside the entire 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So I have some downtime where I'm at that, you know, if I'm not like, you know, trying to get steps with Corinne in my ear, walking around the unit, then I'm, you know, sitting here watching a video or listening to, you know, a book. So
here's what I want to suggest. And I think this is where some of the anxiety is getting driven from. You have it in your mind that you have to be all in on one thing in order to do it well versus here's the things I'm going to do and here's how I'm going to structure my time.
Yes.
Because you said, I need to be studying all I can between now and May. Now that sounds dramatic rather than saying I have this, like I'm going to get out a calendar and here's what I'm going to do. Here's the time blocks. Like here's when I know I'm driving each of these days. And here's when I know that I'm going to have time. Then you're going to have what's called bonus time when you're working and like the pockets arise and you're going to have something that you're like, all right, when it's pocket time, like when it's like quick stuff, here's my list of things that I will listen to. It could be school. It could be PNP. It could be either one, but you spend an hour a week planning all of that so that you're never thinking, oh my God, I just got to be studying all the time, all that I can do, any moment I can find. And it's haphazard studying. It's not deliberate studying. So I think you're frozen. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're really into what I'm saying. There you go.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I was just like, she's either like way down with this or she's like, this is some bullshit.
No, I lost you at, so I'm going to take an hour.
I'm going to take an hour every week. This is how I do my week. Because this is what's so funny. It's like, you know, you're going to be studying for this test, right? So I run a business and I run my house and I take care of my health and fitness and all these other things. Like that's just some of them. Plus I study a lot for you guys. That's not even my business time. Like if I sat around and I was just like, I have got to be working all the time. Every moment that I can find, I've got to be working. And I just hope to God I don't get fat over it. Like if that was my mindset, can you imagine? Oh my God, I would suck. But here's what I always do. On Sunday, I wake up and I'm like, okay, here's the week. And I literally get out my planner. It has a full-on thing. Like, I love the Brendan Burchard planner. This might be good for you with your studying because it's nice and big, for one. Let me see. It's called the High Performance Planner. I thought I had it. All right. Let me show it to you. Give it a whirl. I use this one for more business stuff. This is just a blank one.
Okay.
But it looks like this. And okay. So what he has is he has on the left side, it's like your morning mindset. So it's just like some excavation questions. And then you have like this large space to write in when you're going to do things. Okay. So what I do is I put in blocks. Like literally, if you saw mine this morning, it would say 4:30 to 5:30 journaling. Like all of my personal journaling and planning gets done for an hour. It takes me about an hour to really like, none of you have to do that. That is a gift I give myself every day. Like to me, that is holy grail time. 5:30 to 6:30 was workout time today. 6:30 to 7:30 was shower, get ready and blah, blah, blah. 7:30 to 8:30 was prepare for my Facebook Live. 8:30 to 9:45 was Facebook Live time. Then I had time built in for my nap. And then I had delivery people, and then I had this call, and then I've got Logan's commute. Like it literally blocks. Every block is accounted for. When I commute, I have written in there the two people that I have to Marco Polo that I do some coaching with. So like everything always has a purpose behind it. And I set that up through the week. And so what I do is on Sunday, I go through my week and I plan out. This is when I'm going to listen to, here's the podcast that I want to listen to this week. And here's when that will happen. Here's the studying I've got to do for the tribe this week. And here's when it will happen. Here's my meetings. Here's like all the things. Here's my dead time. Like I'm getting a haircut tomorrow. I have scheduled in that 2-hour time block, the work I'm taking with me because I knew that like they don't have Wi-Fi. So I need to be able to be productive and do work during that haircut time that doesn't require me being online. Okay. That's written into the planner. Okay. I never have to think about it. And I also never have to indulge in the idea. I have to be doing something every minute. Like, what am I going to be doing? Because you'll spend time figuring out what you're going to study when that could have been time you could have been listening to a podcast that I did while you're getting ready to study.
Okay.
So that's how you do both at the same time. You be deliberate and you plan for it. You plan for success. You don't dread failure. And right now you're dreading failure and getting worked up over it rather than planning for how this can be done.
Right.
Quite easily. You be the person who gets this test done who also loses another 20 pounds or 15 or whatever it is you want to lose.
And whatever. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to get this planner for sure.
It's a good planner, guys. I'm working on our own version that's like got my planner plus this planner and everything. I use this one and I use this one. And here's how I do it. Do what?
So I love that one. I have that one right here.
You use this one for the food. Like you just literally, you do your food in here. This one is the one that I like actually time block all my time. And it has really good journaling questions. And then on my planner, that's why it takes me no time to do it. I rarely even do thought downloads and models unless I need one because these questions pretty much are requiring me to do those each day.
Okay.
That's why we're going to switch things up a little eventually. It'll be a while. Y'all don't be like up my grill. It's going to take me like 6 months to get this done. So I know how it is. Like, when are you going to release that planner?
That's true. That's true. Okay, so I will get this planner and then I will definitely work harder at not reading because that is my go-to when I'm like awake during the day and I should be sleeping before going to work. I read books, so I'll just pull up the Kindle and there I am reading. So I will work harder at trying to not do that. So I can
It sounds like you need to be reading whatever it is you need to study. You know, I don't know if this will be helpful for you, but now it would cost some money, but I don't know what your program is like, but you, if you like to read more, you can always, there's a service called rev.com. It's like a, I think it's like a dollar a minute or something like that, but you can have a lot of things transcribed so that you can just read them if you prefer reading. And there's also another service, I forget their name, that's a little cheaper than Rev. They're not as accurate, but if you've got these videos, they'll probably be more accurate. Or you may even call the company that does it and ask them, do they have transcripts or anything that they have that they could send you because you prefer to read their materials.
Okay. All right. That's a good idea. Rev.com, R-E-V?
R-E-V.com. You may even ask in the Facebook group. There's several transcriptionists in our Facebook group who can tell you cheaper services or ways to gamify it if you would rather read than listen.
Okay. All right. Well, I like doing both, so that's good. But all right.
You can do both. I know you can. I have no doubt. As long as you're willing to plan, I swear to God, you guys, you can plan any success that you want. As long as you're willing to do the planning.
I'm definitely one of those people that I feel like, well, when this is over, then I can do this. And when this is over, like, we're having a house built. I've been living. This isn't actually my liquor stuff.
Oh. It's okay.
But, you know, so I keep saying, you know, because we don't move into the house isn't done till May or June. So I'm like, okay, well, once that's done, then that'll be off my mind and I can really jump into this. So I have a problem with like trying to complete one thing at a time where I need to know that I can juggle.
I always tell myself, like when I was this last few weeks, because it was like all these, I don't like unfinished things. Like I like to just finish things and get going, you know? And I would just tell myself, if there's nothing that I can solve thinking about it now, there's no sense in even thinking about it. And I'll just be like, it will come back. Like when it's ready to be worked on, I'm pretty sure someone will let me know. Like me thinking somebody should be doing something or this should be over, or, you know, if we could only get this part done. I was like, what a waste of your emotional energy, Corinne. And I swear to God, I got so much done the last few weeks because I just kept saying, okay, this part of the project's on hold now. So now we're going to go over here. Like there's no sitting around thinking about the parts that can't move right now.
Yeah.
It was so liberating. I'm going to tell you, it saved me from arguing with my husband a lot because he's always my target. Whenever I'm mad, it's not even his fault. He's just like, because he doesn't yell back and he doesn't like get upset with me. He's like the easy person to bitch and like, rah!
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to re-listen to this when this comes back on. I forget how you said it just a few minutes ago, but I'm going to write that down.
Okay.
And put it down somewhere.
All right.
That makes perfect sense. And, you know, thank you. Yeah, I know everyone thanks you, but, you know, thank you so much for doing all that you do and making people feel really comfortable when they come on this, because this does add to the anxiety, but it's a great call. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's see. What time is it? 12:50. Okay. I can get one more person in. Let me type in the name. It's the High Performance Planner. If you go to my Kit store, I will say right now, Kit is down. So go later. But if you go to kit.com/fitandfat, PHITNPHAT, then you can get the planner there. But it's, we've heard right now that Kit is down. I think they're doing some stuff right now. So all right, let's pull up one more. Gwendolyn, your hand's up, so I'm going to just call on you. I hope you meant to have it up. Otherwise, you might be on the potty. Hello. You have to turn your audio on. Bottom left, I think, is join with audio. Yes. All right. Okay. We'll be coaching on.
Okay. My issue is that I get pretty frustrated with the fact that when I'm in a different environment, I don't feel in control. So like when I'm at home, everything is great. I mean, because I control, I have my plan. I've been doing my plan. I've had a lot of success since January, But if I get put into a situation, whether I go out to eat with friends or go to their home, like I'm going to my mom's home for a long weekend, which she's overweight and there's always been food issues there. I literally asked her today, can you put away the candy jar when I get there? Because I know you're going to have jelly beans in there and I can't control myself. And it frustrates me that I just can't control myself.
Okay. I was going to say, you first thought is that I can't be in control when I'm other places. You need to start telling yourself, I can be in control. I just choose not to.
Okay.
That's
so it's okay to take that step. It's okay to do that.
Yeah. You want to thought ladder this first, because one of the things that you've got to separate out from your brain is that somehow food has power over you.
Okay.
And if it had true power over you, then jelly beans would come to your house.
Okay.
That's how we know they don't have true control, because some jelly bean would be sitting somewhere and been like, I think Susan doesn't have us in the house and we should probably just make a surprise visit.
That makes sense.
Right.
But like, I know jelly beans aren't going to be in my house. Like, I won't purchase them and they're not going to knock on my door.
Right. So now what we need to do is we need to translate, knowing since jelly beans have no power, that when you eat them, it literally is you doing it, not the jelly bean. So when you go, you want to make sure that you're setting yourself up to understand that if I'm having it, it's not like, it's so much easier to get mad at our mother than it is to be like, it's going to be uncomfortable with the jelly beans.
Because well, she was so sweet. She goes, oh, yeah, no problem. Like, she had no issues with it. But I just was so mad thinking, why couldn't I eat just 6 jelly beans and not eat the whole friggin' jar?
Yeah, and well, and that's
myself.
Right. But that is such a waste of your energy, because the only reason why you can't do that yet is because you haven't practiced it enough. So you shouldn't be upset about it. Like, I want you to think about this. You don't practice at home at all. But you expect when you go out in the rest of the world to suddenly have some kind of, like, skill that you don't practice at home, like having food that you think has control over you.
I know.
That's why, like, I don't want you guys frustrated with yourselves as if you're somehow weak or you're somehow there's something wrong. It's like the only way to be strong in something is to actually practice doing it until you get good at it, which means like going to your mom's, seeing jelly beans like 5,000 times, wanting the jelly beans and not having the jelly beans, and telling yourself, like, if I eat them, it's not because I lack self-control. It's because I'm choosing to eat them every single time. It may feel disempowering. It may feel all those things, but like, there's a lot of power that comes from in that first early step of just taking on personal responsibility rather than getting mad at yourself. Because when you're mad and frustrated with yourself and you're saying something's wrong with me, why can't I be this person, blah, 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 you're not taking responsibility yet.
Right. Okay.
You're spinning out over there with pointless questions, pointless thoughts, driving your, like, and I promise if you do that, then the rest of the weekend, it'll just be more and more jelly beans.
I know. And it's crazy how you can go back into an environment like that. And all of a sudden I'm scared. I'm thinking, okay, what's next week's weigh-in going to be? And then I'll be resentful. And, you know, I just don't want all that drama.
Well, and this is where I want you to be. I anticipate my brain to have drama. I'm just not going to get upset about the drama anymore. Whereas right now you're like, I just don't want the drama, because when the drama hits, I choose to feel really bad about it. Now what I want you to do is like, here comes the drama. I now choose not to feel really bad about it. It's normal.
Okay.
It's normal. Like, it's normal to have all those thoughts and feelings. They will always come until you quit giving them so much power and authority over you. Like, you will want jelly beans. You will want to think, I'm out of my environment is so much better than this environment. Like, you're going to want to have all these thoughts. And this is where you like really understand. It's like, that is all completely normal for me. Like, I don't need to be frustrated with myself over that. Then what happens is once you get to where that, it's like de-escalating the war inside. Then you can start having peace talks with yourself.
Okay.
But first the fighting has to stop before the peace talks can happen. Once we get the fighting to stop, then we can go in and we can say like, okay, like this next time, I'm not going to eat the jelly. This is where the real discomfort starts coming in. Like, I think you'll go this time. And I think when you de-escalate and you're not so frustrated with yourself, or you catch yourself getting frustrated, when you catch yourself being mad, when you catch yourself wanting to grab the jelly beans, or sometimes if you grab something and understand.
Oh, there'll be all kinds of junk in the house. There will be. There'll be chips, crackers and cheese and all the stuff that I have actually made sure that it's not part of my home environment right now. So that's what scares me. I'm like, okay, I question sometimes, I've lost 23 pounds and it's been relatively easy and I've eaten healthy and all that. But I think it makes me scared that, is it real? Because when I get thrown into a different environment, then am I going to prove to myself, oh, you really haven't changed? So that's the
Here's the thing. You have changed. But this is where you have to be careful. When I don't have certain foods in my house, it's not from fear.
Okay, so mine's from fear.
Yes.
Okay.
That's where all the anxieties come. Because I'm going to tell you, my mom, she weighs over 300 pounds. God love her. When I go visit my mom in Florida, trust me, it is like every morning she's frying chicken and biscuits for my uncle. You know, there's... last summer we were down there, poor little Logan, he came up to me. Of course, we were down there and I was doing all this stuff. And my mom fed him for breakfast 2 days in a row, Cheetos. And I just had not paid attention because he was waking up like at 11 o'clock or something like that. And on the third day he said, can you take me to a restaurant like that? And I said, well, yeah, where do you want to go? And he said, just wherever they serve real breakfast. Mammy keeps giving me Cheetos. He's like all whispering it.
That's hilarious.
And so I was like, let's go. So we went to a breakfast place. But like my mom's house is everything. Like everything. Like if there was a vegetable, I would laugh. But like it goes to show you the different mindset between me and you. Like I go down there. And I totally anticipate making a quick run to the grocery store to get some stuff that we're going to want. I'm okay with her having all the foods that she has and that she does herself. Because I feel okay around all that stuff. Because I even set my, like in my house, we don't keep that stuff in the house. But if we have it, every now and then, like on the weekend, I'll take the boys to the store with me. They come back in with peanut M&Ms. Kettle Brand jalapeno chips is another favorite. Like Logan loves a good donut, like several things. And it's fine. But it's because I always know the food doesn't control me, that if I ever eat any of it, it's always a choice. And that started with me always being really conscious about not beating myself up over choosing food. That beat down has to stop first, or you'll always fear that food. Your problem is that you really fear the food. The problem is when you eat the food, you tear yourself up over it. That's the painful part.
So what tools should I do? TDLs? Like what you said, the thought ladder should.
Yeah. What is your recommendation? I would do a thought download about like, here's everything that I'm afraid of at my mom's house.
Okay.
And then I would tell myself, it's very normal to be afraid of these things. Because I haven't practiced those, not because something's wrong with me. I think that for you really needs to be like something you start practicing in your brain, is that food doesn't control me, that it's always just a choice, and that if I'm fearful of it, it's simply because I haven't practiced being around it enough, understanding that it can't hurt me. Mm-hmm. I might choose it. But, and like this whole idea, is weight loss even real? Yes, it's real. A lot of people will lose the first 25 pounds before they learn that they need to let go back and now start building their resilience around food, start building up their confidence around food. Some people will start that way. There's no wrong way to do this.
Okay.
And I think that's what I want you, like so much of what you said is so fear driven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I want you to do is liking this process more.
Okay.
Figuring out how you can start finding more like comfort and peace and relaxation in the process. And when
I feel great with all the food that I have been eating, so all the healthy food, it's just been, I mean, my energy level, I'm sleeping great. I mean, there's so many benefits. My clothes fit more comfortable, obviously, but it's just, I think sometimes I put myself in a cocoon because I control everything that comes into this house, and it's just my husband and I, because we're empty nesters. And so I can protect my environment. So the thought of going somewhere else, it just freaks me out a little bit. So
I would just think about how am I going to go to my mom's and not freak out? What can I do to not freak out? What are the things I can tell myself? What are the things that I can believe about me? What are the things that I can believe about food? What are the feelings that will happen that will be completely normal? And I'm totally prepared for that. Like, do a lot of that stuff and put that in Ask Coaches and just say, like, this was, watch my call. Just tell them the day and say, watch my call. This is what Corinne and I talked about. Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything other, any other advice you could give me? Or even put it in the Facebook group. And okay. Then when you're there, do you have an accountability group?
I don't. Okay. I should probably. I've been tossing that idea around, so I need to do that.
It's probably a good time to get one because your accountability group will always snuff out shit like this.
Okay.
This is one of the benefits of the accountability groups. We all talk the same shit in PNP. Accountability groups are like your coaching calls on the daily. Because they'll be like, why are you so afraid to go to your mom's? Like, they would have asked the question because it's not their drama. Or they'll be like,
yeah. I think it's that cocoon thing. I'm doing it by myself and I don't even feel I'm on Facebook occasionally, but even the accountability by myself thing or what. But I'll definitely, I should probably try and find an accountability group for sure.
Yeah, I would either find a group or a little partner. And this is like one of the things that you can tell them is like, you know, I may not be checking in every day, but I'm just looking for people who just want to like periodically check in and discuss the stuff at PNP, talk about some of the things that, like, you know, journaling questions. Like, I really just want to study with some people. We have a lot of people who are not there for Kumbaya. They're literally there to just like, they say, I just want a group who wants to study the stuff that, you know, that we're learning.
And, exactly.
And you can have that group. There's all kinds of accountability groups, but I think that it's important. I don't think everybody has to have a group or a partner. I told guys, don't, you know, if you're a solo artist, I preach, go for it. But what I do find that's helpful when you have some tie-ins to people who are doing our work like this is that when you go to your mom's, like at home, you don't need them as much. Then when you go to your mom's or you go out with friends, you have someone who can text and say, I'm a little anxious, I'm out of my comfort zone, but here's what I'm committed to. And I know it's going to be a little uncomfortable for me. And then when I'm done, I'll text you. Like my accountability partner, she does that. Like we do that with each other. So like yesterday, one of her big things was she needed to clean her office up. Like she has been procrastinating, eating, doing all the things to avoid cleaning up her office. So she literally sent me a message and said, I'm going in and in 2 hours, I will be texting you that I'm either finished or face down in food. She said, I'm choosing finishing today. So, you know, like just sometimes whether I even had checked the message or not was irrelevant. Her thinking, like I have said it to another human being in the world. Yeah, it's a lot easier to go over the hump, you know?
Okay. Okay. Well, I will try to get that going too.
Well, I'm glad you can get on the call. This is a good one.
You hear it from everyone, but you truly are changing my life. And I just am in shock by the, what I find really invigorating is the fact that it's such a great place to support women. And we don't always have that in society. And there's so much love and it's just amazing. So thank you.
I mean, thank you. I appreciate that.
It really is amazing.
I love what I do. I just do.
You can tell.
This guy was here fixing the my cabinet downstairs and he was asking about what I did and was giving me some advice and stuff. And like, he's like, you should teach them to exercise.
I'm like, I think I have it. I have this.
And I was like, I might do that. And I was just sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, if sometimes I just think so few people in the world even know about us. And I'm like, it's amazing how, like, I find so much strength in you guys. Like, I know you guys are always thanking me and stuff, and I totally appreciate it. But I always like, there's so many times I go into our group just to read what you guys are doing to make me feel better.
Isn't that crazy? Well, it's hard to explain. Somebody asked me what I was doing, and I find myself rambling because there's so much that you offer us besides the four basics. And I'm like, well, then there's this and there's this. And I thought, I have to come up with some kind of line to explain to people what I'm doing.
Because it's exciting. Our mental and our physical weight.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That's
what I always tell people. It's like, I teach women how to lose their, I was like, the easy part's the physical weight. I teach them how to lose that mental weight too.
I probably think that's the biggest piece of it because God knows I've done the Weight Watchers and Atkins and everything else in between and nothing's worked, but this is working. It's changing me. So thank you. I just thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Good luck at your mom's.
Thank you.
All right. I guess that's it, guys. I'm going to have to go. I have to go pick up Mr. Logan. So, I'm sorry, Gwendolyn, that we couldn't get you on, but I've got to go get Logan. He, well, it's not that cold out, but he didn't take a jacket this morning. Swear to God, he didn't need one. So anyway, y'all have a good one. I will see you guys on, let me see. Today's Wednesday, March 27th. And it looks like I'll see you guys for Q&A in the morning in the Facebook group. So bring your questions and I will be there answering them all. Bye, y'all.